Satan, a messenger of Satan. And the Lord told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul said, well, I most gladly therefore will glory in my infirmities, right? And I think as they were singing that song, Paul throughout his life, throughout his writings, started his letters with grace and ended with grace. Read them. Most of his letters start with grace and end with grace. Why? Because his grace amazed Paul. And so appreciate that song tonight. Jonah chapter 1, it's in the Old Testament, in those little books that nobody can find. If you can find Obadiah, you're almost there. If you've gone to Micah, you've gone too far. I'll give you a second. I always hate when preachers ask, and I'm like, I know where that is, but I'm in my mind. I'm singing the song of the books of the Old Testament sometimes, right? And it takes me a minute to get, especially like to Jonah and Micah and all those. So Jonah, we began a few weeks ago on lessons on Jonah. And I think that these are very applicable to us today. And I hope that they will be to you tonight. We'll look at verses 3 through verse 16 tonight. And we already read verses 1 through 3 last time, but I want to reread verse 3. It says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. He paid the fare thereof, and went into the ship to go with them into Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. We talked about last week how foolish it is to think that you can run from God and hide from His presence. But Jonah gave it a try, like most Christians a lot of times try, and they find out that God is everywhere. You can't outrun Him, right? I've told you this last or the week before, you can't outrun the air. It's always there, right? And you say, I'm getting away from this air. Well, you can't. It's there. If you get away from it, that means you die. Amen. Amen. Verse 4. But, I love that. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners, I love how it gives us their names, the mariners, meaning these were not part-time guys. This was their profession, that this is what they did. They saw these storms. They knew how this boat operated. It says, and the mariners were afraid. I don't know if you've ever known any mariners in your life. I used to work with them when I lived in Battle of Battery, Alabama. Look it up. It's a beautiful place if you love shrimp. It's like the shrimp capital of Alabama. I was glad to be living there. And I worked with some guys that were shrimpers, and boy, nothing scares those guys. Those guys are tough. Why? Because they do it day in and day out, day in and day out. But these were afraid. This was a storm like no other. It says, and every man, in verse 5, it says, and he cried, every man to his God, and cast forth wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and lay fast asleep. So the shipman came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. They said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Lots in those days were like we would draw straws today. They would have either stones or they would use made up something and they would cast it. And by the way, it's mentioned 70 times in the Old Testament, 7 times in the New Testament. And God used this in the Old Testament to kind of point out who is at fault or who is to be chosen. Matter of fact, when they were choosing land and all that, Joshua, during those days, they used the lot. They cast the lot to see whose lot it fell upon, and that's the land that you got. So it's kind of one of those things, like we would draw straws, right? Which I always got, which one? The short one. Verse 7, I am a short straw. And he says, verse 8, he says, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Liar, liar, pants on fire. If you feared the Lord, you wouldn't be where you're at. It's amazing how we give testimony of ourselves, isn't it? Oh, I love Jesus. But I hadn't been to church in a few years. I love Jesus, but I have never read my Bible. Oh, I love souls. I've never witnessed any, but I love them. Amen. That's what he said. He says, I fear the Lord. And I just say, liar, liar, get the fire extinguisher, your pants are on fire. and God, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. Why? Because he told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared and was tempest. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. I thought about this today. This is a side note. Why didn't Jonah just jump in the water himself? If he's guilty, why don't you just do it yourself? Why are you going to cause these guys to do this? I never thought about it till today. I was like, you sissy. You've already lied, right? Now you're like, oh, you should probably cast me in the sea. Well, why don't you just jump overboard? You ever told anybody just go jump off the boat? No, maybe not. But here, look what he says. He says, so the sea was calm. Verse 12, I'll read again. And he said to them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so that so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sakes this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard. They didn't want to throw him over and bring it to land, but they could not. For the sea roared and was tempest against them. Wherefore they cried unto, now notice this, they were crying under their little G-gods. All of a sudden, they got religion. By the way, you put me out in the middle of the sea, I'm going to, right? You may find Jesus there. He says, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done it as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Tonight we're going to preach upon this subject, results of running. There's the results of running. We'll see that tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. And God, I give you all praise, all glory. I ask you to help me tonight to be a help and a blessing. And Lord, I pray you fill me with your Holy Spirit. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So look, if you will, just a few things. I give you three things tonight that when you decide to run from God, things are going to happen. Number one, there are consequences. There are consequences from running from the Lord. Just like when I was a kid, I told you all this before, there was a consequence when my mom said, get here, and said, you're in trouble, and I run. There's more consequences from running, right? And in the life of Jonah, we see here that they said, look at verse 4. By the way, I'll give you something else I just saw today. Four times in this chapter, we see the word cast or into the sea. Notice, if you will, verse 4. I want you to think about this one. He says, but the Lord sent out a great wind. Now notice the next wording, into the sea. Notice, if you will, in verse 5, it says, and then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man is God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship. Where? Into the sea. Look at verse 12. It says, and he said, take me up and cast me forth where? Into the sea. Verse 15 says, so they took Jonah up and cast him forth into the sea. It's amazing that, I'm just going to give you this. This is free tonight. It's not necessarily, but this is part of the consequences, is that the God of heaven did not calm the storm. He created the storm in this story. You don't see that really nowhere else in the Bible, that God created the storm. Why? Because one man fled from him. And we see that God, if you study water that is disrupted in the Bible, it's a picture of God's wrath. Anybody remember a man by the name of Noah? I was fixing to say Jonah. That's who was said. But Noah, right? God's wrath was by water. And so God began to stir that water up. And if you notice, this is free of charge. They threw the wares in, which mean they threw in all their valuables and their cargo. They threw it in. They tried their own way. They tried rowing. But the only thing that would appease the God of heaven, his wrath, was to cast in the problem. See, that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus, the wrath of God was upon us, but Jesus came and he gave his life. Why? He had to become man to give his life. And then you know that Jonah's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ anyway, because he's mentioned over in Matthew, and we'll read that later. And that's Matthew's where it tells us that it was a whale too that ate him up. We'll look at that next week. But in this story, we see that into the sea. I want you to think about that for a minute. Think about the consequences of running from God, that God created this great wind into the sea. Now listen, you can do something on the sea, but it does not disrupt necessarily what's in the sea. But if you really want a tempest and you really want a turbulent storm, you put it into the sea. And that's what God did. The waters began to roll and to boil over. And what began to happen, that's why the mariners were afraid, because they'd never seen a storm like this. That it was not necessarily caused by some storm system. It was caused by the God of heaven. And he began to put that wind into the sea. See, wind usually goes with the sea or against it. It doesn't go into it. But God put it into it. Why? Because this was a catastrophic storm. How do you know that? Because the Bible says in verse 4 that the boat was like to be what? The ship was like to be broken. Folks, I don't know about you, but I've been on some rough waves out in the Gulf of Mexico before. Not that I ever want to do it ever again, but I actually kind of enjoyed one time. We were on one of those fishing big boats, the party boats, and you would see the sun, water. Sun, water. And it was like this. Everybody was dropping out like cats and flies, and people were chumming in the water. I will say that one of our people here at this church was inside in the air conditioning, white as a sheet. It was a bad day. I was like the only person fishing. Everybody else was chumming. And I was like, whoa, yeah, this is fun, right? I don't like roller coaster rides, but I like boat rides. But I want to tell you what, I don't know about you, but if you're out there and all of a sudden the mariners, the one who do this for a living, are afraid, something great is happening. But guess where Jonah was? He's asleep. And I'll talk about that here in a minute, but I want to tell you that the storm of the century hit these mariners. Why? Because there's consequences for us going away from God and running from God in our life. And sometimes God has to send that storm into our life to get our attention. But sometimes he doesn't get our attention with the storm. Sometimes he gets other people's attention with the storm to get our attention. Hello? God didn't necessarily get the attention of Jonah. He got the attention of other people. And other people got the attention of Jonah. Listen, whatever you think, how far you think you can go from God, don't think for one minute that God is not going to be there and put something in your life to get your attention, not because he's a hateful God, but because he's a loving and just God. He loves you enough to say, don't be Forrest Gump. I just started running. Right? I don't even know why I'm running, because I don't want to do what God's. And one day I just stopped. Right? Just stop and listen to God. Why? Because there's consequences. I wrote this down. A good day is when Jesus calms the sea. A bad day is when Jesus stirs the sea. When he sticks his finger in there and he begins to stir it. Listen, have you ever run away from God? I know y'all haven't, but people that aren't here have. Right, you always preach to people that aren't here so that you can't get mad at me. And then you that are watching online, y'all are in with us. But you run from God, and God begins to stick his finger in your life and begin to stir it. And there begins to be consequences from us running from the Lord. Number two, I want you to notice this. There was not only consequences, but there was chaos. Can you imagine the chaos that's on this boat? Every man. Here comes the mariners, and they're like, everybody, just start calling out to whoever you got. Phone a friend. Call. One goes over here, goes, Buddha, can you hear me? Buddha, I need you right now. Nope, that line's dead. One goes over here and starts to do Hail Marys and sprinkles water all over. Nope, that didn't work. The other one goes over here and he's a Hindu and he's worshiping every bug and everything in the world, and he's trying to call out to his God. There's one worshiping Baal over here. There's one worshiping Muhammad. One calling out to Joseph Smith and all those people. And listen, they don't get a sound. They're like, this is not working. Talk about chaos. They say, wait a minute, that's not working. Start casting stuff off. Let's just try everything in our power. You know what happens when we run from God and we suffer the consequences of that, and it creates chaos in our life? It creates chaos for everybody, because everybody's going, what is going on? Why is this happening? And it created chaos in the lives of these mariners and the shipmaster that was there. But guess who was asleep? The Christian, right? Spurgeon wrote this. I thought it was great. I can't take credit. It was Spurgeon. And if Spurgeon said it, it's right. Jonah was asleep amid all the confusion and noise. And, O Christian man, for you to be indifferent to all that is going on in such a world as this, For you to be negligent of God's work in such a time as this is just as strange. The devil alone is making noise enough to wake all the Jonas if they only want to awake. All around us there is turbulent and storm, yet some professing Christians are able, like Jonah, to just go to sleep in the sides of the ship. In other words, there's a storm going on in our world today. But yet there's just Christians that are just sleeping through it. In the midst of chaos is, listen, you know what should happen as a Christian in the midst of chaos? We should shine forth Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the opposite of chaos. Right? Remember on the ship, they're calling out to their gods. They're trying everything. It always reminds you of Elijah and the prophets of Baal, doesn't it? Elijah goes up on top of Mount Carmel, ever how you like to say it. As long as it's in my coffee, I don't care, or on my ice cream. They go up to Mount Carmel, and they're going to have a duel. And Elijah says, all right, prophets of Baal, you call upon your God, and then when you're finished, I'm going to call upon my God. And whoever's God answers, guess what? That's the winner. Well, guess what? Elijah not one time thought he was going to be ever a loser. Why? Because he knew he served the true and living God. Prophets of Baal go over there and they're like, hey, we're calling on your name. Elijah's maybe not saying it loud enough. Maybe can't hear you. They said, you know what? We got to be more serious with this. The Bible says they begin to cut themselves, mutilate their body to get their God's attention. Aren't you glad you don't have to do that to get God's attention? Elijah said, are y'all finished? And by the way, the Bible doesn't give us a time frame. I don't think it was 5 minutes. I don't think it was 30 minutes. I think this was a whole day affair. That they began to call on their name, and Elijah's over there just going, you know, Elijah says, okay, I want you to go get water. Wait a minute, we're in a drought. Just go get water, pour it upon the altar. Soak it until the water runs off of it. And I'm going to call upon my God, and he's going to send fire from heaven, and he's going to lick up the fire, and he's going to light the wood. Have you ever tried to light soaking wet wood? Impossible. Even with gasoline. Not that I've tried that, but I'm just saying if somebody was to try that, right? You know, I mean, if you've got a torch, whatever, you're not going to get that wood going. But can I say, Elijah says, dear God, all of a sudden, wham, here comes that fire from heaven and burns up, licks up all the water that was on the altar and in the trenches about it. And all of a sudden, the wood is on fire and all the prophets of Baal go, ah, we lost. Yeah, you lost because there is no other God. The first two commandments is talking about idols and stay away from them, have no graven image. And here comes Jonah. Jonah's asleep, yet he serves the true and living God while there's chaos going on outside the ship. There's been a few scenes over my life and being in the fire department. You get there and it's chaos. I can think of one right now that I was just driving down the road. Me and Brody was driving down the road and an accident happened in front of us. And when I got up there, it was so funny, you know, and thank God for people that want to help. I got there, and it was a very serious car accident. Two elderly people were in there. They rear-ended another vehicle, didn't even slow down. They went up kind of under it. They were both hurt pretty bad. The passenger lady had a very bad concussion, had open fracture, all these things. And so I walk up there. There's a lady up there. She's like, I think I got this. And she's going, ma'am, follow my finger. Like, she don't need a breathalyzer test. And the lady's just going... And she's in and out of consciousness. The lady's like, right here. And I was like, oh, wow, I said, I'm an EMT. If you don't mind, I can take over. She's like, oh, okay, yeah, if you can go ahead and take her, that'd be good. And I'm like, okay, maybe we need to stop the bleeding on her arm first. You know, her bone's sticking out this way, her hands face that way. I was like, maybe we should do some triage first, right? And I get there, and of course, Brody's with me, and I'm like, Brody, I need this, this, and this. And then the driver, he was trapped in there. He had broke both of his ankles. It was a chaotic scene, and I'm just there trying to make sense of it. You know, I'm trying to think, okay, what do we need to do here? And it's amazing how in this world, people are trying to figure out, what is eternal life? Who is God? How do I find peace? How do I get help? How do I find love? And the world's in chaos. Why? Because they're going to this, they're going to that, they're going to this person, they're listening to this program, trying to find hope and trying to find love and trying to find eternal life, but yet they keep falling short of it. Why? Because there is no other God like our God. In the midst of chaos, the person who had the answer was asleep. Listen, child of God tonight, there's chaos going on. Wake up. It's not time to sleep. Listen, today is day that we should arise and proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third thing I want you to see tonight is that there was a cost. When you go from God, there's not only consequences and there's chaos, but there's a cost to it. If you look at verse 3, it talks about, notice the last kind of the last part there, it says, he paid the fare thereof. I studied this. Nobody knows how much this fare was, but remember that Tarsus was 2,500 miles away from where Jonah was. That's a long ship ride. That's a long ride. That's probably not cheap. Some commentators say, and you can take them for what they say, because they don't know either, but they say that he probably gave them every penny he had. Why? Because he figured he wanted to get as far away from God as he could. Listen, when you run from God, the results of that, it's going to cost you something. But I want you to notice this. Here's what I really want to camp out at tonight. Look at verse 5, if you will. In verse 5, the Bible says, and the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship. If you look up that word wares, it simply means merchandise, but it means something expensive. That these were merchants. These were men. If you kind of study in this time, they would go from seaport to seaport selling these goods. So we don't know how big these ships were at this time, but we know that it had wares on it. In other words, wares would have been in those days like silverware and things of a household type thing that would have had maybe some instruments on it, maybe some oil on it and things like that that they would have had in those days. And so they would have stopped at seaport to seaport and would have tried to sell those things. So this was these men's livelihood. Remember, they were mariners. The only other money that they would make is that people would hop on the boat and they would transport them. Other than that this was their livelihood. And can I remind you that they cast it into the sea? See, when we run from God, it's going to cost us something. But I want you to think about what it may cost your family. And what it may cost those around you. And it may not be nothing of value like this, but it may be some things that you don't want to go through. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to run from God. God's already there wherever you run to. So you can't outrun Him. Aren't you glad He doesn't want us to run away? You know, I think of so many times in my life that I wanted to run from God and tried to, and God just kept putting those barriers up in my life, going, Michael, don't do this. Well, you're running that bumper over here, right? It's kind of like, you ever go bowling with your kids and they forget to close the bumpers for your turn? Greatest day of my life, right? And boy, they, you know, and some of these now, it's amazing. I remember the old days, you used to have to pull them up, you know, manually, and you'd have to leave them up, and you'd bowl over here, and your kids bowl over here. But now it's automatic. It realizes who's up, and it goes, you know, and boy, those bumpers go up, and you can throw the ball ever how you want to, and it just do, and it's going to hit something down there. Hallelujah. That's how God does us. But there is a point where you run out of guardrail. And the Bible, Timothy tells us, Paul was telling Timothy, he said, Timothy, be careful with some of these people who say that they are Christians and they're not. And then he said, be careful with these Christians who are not right with God. And he uses this term. He says, and some having swerved. They've gone off track. They've gone off. Why? Because they're trying to get away from God. They're trying to get away from the will of God in their life and what God's called them to do. Can I remind you tonight that it's going to cost you something if you go from God? The results of you running will cost you something. When you go back to God, you may not be the same person. You may not have the same things that you had when you were with God. You say, well, what happened? I don't know, and I don't want to test God to find out. I thank God for other examples He's given us of people who have run from God. And listen, we're going to see in the book of Jonah that God uses imperfect people. Jonah didn't want to go, but God used him to have a great revival. At the end of the book of Jonah, Jonah wanted to die, and I believe God wanted to kill him too. But he didn't. And I'll share kind of how that ends. But I just want to let you know that what will be the cost of you running from God? quit running from God and begin to run to God. You think of the one of the greatest stories, I think, in the Bible, in the New Testament, is the prodigal son, isn't it? You know, the prodigal son, he goes to his father, he says, Dad, he says, you know what, I wish you were dead. Basically, that's what he said. He said, I wish you were dead, so go ahead and give me my inheritance. The dad gives him his inheritance. He says, you know what, I'm going to go, and the Bible calls it riotous living. Matter of fact, some of the other verses on that tell us kind of what he did with that money. But we know he went to, he laid in a pig slop and all that stuff. But the greatest part of that story is that apparently every day that father went out there to see if his son was coming home. That's a loving father, isn't it? I believe every day. You say, why do you know that? Because he saw his son afar off, the Bible tells us. How could he have saw him afar off if he wasn't looking for him? I believe every day that father went out there and he's standing at the mailbox. And how mailboxes, but just imagine they did. He's standing out there, he's going, hope he comes home today. Goes back into the wife. Wife says, today? No. They go back in there and they pray, God, do whatever you have to do to my son to get him back here. And guess what God did? He took him to the end of his rope. And he got his attention. He said, you know what? I'm going to run from my family. I'm going to run from God. And God did everything in his power to get his attention. And he did. And one day the Bible says, and he came to himself. And he said, you know what, I'm going to go back home, but I want to go back home and be one of my father's servants. That's what I deserve. He comes around that corner, his dad's out by the mailbox again, putting the flag up this time, he had some mail. All of a sudden he goes, thank God. Here he comes, and the Bible says this, that his father ran to meet him, but I love this part. He hugged him, and he kissed him. He'd been with the Hawks. I mean, he had to have stunk. I mean, he spent every dime he had, but his father said, oh, wow, he's home. He ran in and tell Mama, Mama, guess what? He's home today. Daddy says, go kill the fatted calf. That's another one, too, by the way. He had been preparing for his son to come back, or else the calf wouldn't have been fatted. Means he fed him out, getting ready to sacrifice him for his son. He said, give me the robe. Give me the ring. My son, whom was dead, is now alive. And you know what I want to tell you tonight? The God of heaven goes out to the mailbox every day looking for the ones who've gone away. Now, obviously, I'm giving you just a silly illustration. But every day, he's looking for the Michael Wiggins. He's looking for the Lee Davises to come. Not that we're away from God. I'm just saying, come back. Come back. Come back home. And that's what he wanted from Jonah's life. And it's amazing to me that God had to do some more things to get Jonah's attention. Next week's going to be amazing. It's going to be a great, great, great sermon about Jonah and the whales in the belly of the whale. But it's amazing. But what does God have to do to get our attention? Maybe you're not necessarily running from the Lord, but you're just away from the Lord. Maybe God wants you to do something. Listen, I don't know why this has been on my heart all day, and so I'm just going to say it. I believe there's somebody here that God has told you to do something, and you just keep going. I don't know what it is. I'm pretty sure one of y'all is to give me money. Quit running from that and just be obedient to God. I'm kidding, almost. But whatever God's telling you to do, listen, I'm obviously just joking, but whatever God's telling you to do, maybe God's calling you to be a Sunday school teacher. We need Sunday school teachers all the time. Substitute, whatever. Maybe God wants to call you to do whatever. I don't know what it is. But quit running from Him and go to Him. Why? Because the further you get away, the more consequences, the more chaos, and the more it's going to cost you. You ever driving along and you hear that noise in your car and you go, nah, just keep driving. Yeah, just turn the radio up, right? Get you a piece of electrical tape and put it over that warning light. I remember one time Brother Kevin told us, had a flat tire and I drove on it a little too long. It was a long time ago. He said, if you would have just stopped, we could have saved this rim. Sorry. He said, it's going to cost more now, right? Is it that true in life? Maybe it wasn't Brother Kevin, maybe it was we had another tire guard in our John. And it's just how it works, right? Just stop where you're at if you're running and go back to him. And he's going to be like, come on. Come home, come home, right? He welcomes you back. And that's a great God that we serve. Let's stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love you. Thank you, God, that you love us. And Lord, that you would not allow us to run without all the obstacles that you'll put in front of us because you love us, because you care for us. You have our best interests at hand. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, tonight, if there's somebody here, maybe somebody listening tonight, that, God, you've called them to do something. Lord, you've have that call upon their life, but, God, they keep running. They just keep going. Father, I pray tonight that they would stop and run to you. And, Lord, just embrace you tonight as you'll embrace them. And, Lord, I just ask, as you told us in the book of James, you said, if we draw nigh to thee, you draw nigh to us. And, God, I just thank you for that promise that you'll do that. And, Lord, we ask you to help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. It's Pastor God.